Welcome to the presentation of the results of Grupo Sura for the second quarter of 2018. My name is Jenny, and I'll be your operator for today. Right now, everybody is in listening mode. Ahead, we'll have a Q&A session, but those that are in the English session and only connected by web, please send us your question through the platform. Good morning. Welcome to the presentation of results of Grupo Sura for the second quarter of 2018. The presentation that we'll be following here can be followed on our website. Today, we have from Grupo Sura, David Bonanini, CEO of Grupo Sura, Ricardo Jaramillo, CFO, Juan Luis Munera, VP of Legal Affairs, and Soto, Manager of Accounting. From our affiliates, Carlos Oquendo, CFO of Sura Asset Management, and Juan Camilo Parra, Manager of Corporate Finance of SulAmérica. Now let's give the floor to our president, David Bonanini.
Good morning to you all. Firstly, I'd like to thank you for the time you have devoted to this teleconference, in which we'll be discussing the results of the first half of the year 2018 of Grupo Sura and of its affiliates. I would like to invite you to please look at slide five, in which we'll be discussing some highlights of Grupo Sura during this first semester. First of all, the net profit reached the amount of 691,914 million pesos, up 8.6% compared to the first half of the year before. The second quarter of the year, individually alone, displayed very good results, profits of 381,000 million pesos, which were compared to the second quarter of last year, a growth of 64.8%. This reflects our strategy of focus and the efficient assignment of capital. Total revenues of the company in the semester were 9.6 billion pesos, decreasing 3.2%. This is mainly explained by lower retained premiums. If you remember, in the prior talk, we told you that SulAmérica did not participate in the bid of the insurance, pension insurance this year, and that's why we have a decrease, a significant decrease in premiums. On the other hand, we were also hurt a lot with the revenues by investments because the capital markets did not display a performance that was very good this semester compared to the first semester of the last year. Just in revenues by investments, there's a decrease of 25.6%. Likewise, total expenses, which climbed to 8.7 billion pesos, decreased 4.2% with improved dynamics than revenues, which creates positive operating results. Likewise, we'd like to highlight the merger between Grupo de Inversiones SulAmérica Panamá and Grupo Sura Finance. This took place in July with both affiliates, which are 100% owned by Grupo Sura. This will give us more efficiencies from here on. I'd like to also talk about the law of conglomerates. We've been very actively participating in the discussions about the regulations or enactments of this law. New decrees have been enacted regarding capital, regarding the tied companies, related companies. So far with these decrees, we don't foresee any significant impact, and we're preparing the implementation of this law currently. With regards to Sura Ventures, we still have our activity
The portfolio of Suda Ventures has adjusted 9 companies and investments for $27 million. The total amount or value of our investment portfolios, which you can see on the right-hand side of slide 5, is 28.1 billion pesos, where the strategic companies such as Bancolombia, Sudamericana, and Suda Asset Management represent 67% of the portfolio. Remembering, of course, that Suda Asset Management and Sudamericana are valued once in the value of books. Now, I would like to invite you to look at slide number 6, where we'll see the financial situation, and this talk will be given by Ricardo Jaramillo, our CFO. Beginning with slide 6, we see the financial situation income of Grupo Suda consolidated. And it's important to mention here that the different items didn't have significant variations. Assets reached 67 billion pesos with a negative variation of 2.9%, mainly explained by the seasonality of the different businesses, impacts of capital markets, and adjustments from conversion. In turn, when it comes to liabilities, the reserves had the same effects that we saw before. Liabilities reached 41.6 billion, dropping 2.6%. And here I would like to highlight that the consolidated financial debt of Grupo Suda reached 9.2 billion, dropping 2.4%, and that the individual financial debt of Grupo Suda reached 4.9 billion, where 78.8% of this debt is in pesos, while 21.2% in dollars. Lastly, total liabilities, which you can see on the right-hand side, top right-hand side, reached 25.4 billion, dropping 3.2%. Moving on to slide 7, we see the integral result income statement of Grupo Suda consolidated, where it's important to mention that you can see the impacts of strategic decisions to disinvest some of the assets and no participation in others, like the insurance, pension insurance in Sudamericana, Colombia. This goes hand in hand with the profitability increase of the capital efficiency. Beginning with total revenues, these reached 9.6 billion pesos, decreasing 3.2%. And we'll see in the top right graph the detail of those revenues. And you can see how the premiums dropped to 8.6%, mainly impacted by the effect mentioned of the non-participation in the insured pension business and the disinvestment of the annuities business. If we wouldn't keep in mind these effects, however, the growth would be 100% of retained premiums. 8.6% of growth in the revenues from commissions reflects the sound dynamics we've had with Suda Asset Management in mandatory as well as in voluntary business that we'll see ahead. Plus, the services provided business that we see has grown 21.3%. And as we mentioned before, the capital markets have had an impact on the revenues from investments and some impact on the equity method, particularly when it comes to protección. Revenues from investments decreased 25.6%, and though it is a negative figure, the second quarter showed a better dynamics, a slight recovery versus the first quarter. Also, the equity method decreased 11.9%, and this, as I said before, was impacted by Protección and also by Bancolombia. When it comes to exchange difference and other items, no significant variations were displaced, so we have revenues, as I said before, of 9.6 billion for the second quarter of 2018. When it comes to expenses, the decrease was 4.2%. We're reaching a level of expenses of 8.7 billion. And please observe the difference in the growth of expenses and revenues, which is 100 basic points over the volume of the 10 billion, which is quite representative to with regards to the operating results of the company. So on the right-hand side, you can see the indicator of loss ratios plus reserves as a percentage of the retained premiums. The services provided also show an improvement in the indicator costs over revenues, improved 180% basic points versus last year. In administrative expenses, we see a decrease of 0.8%, mainly explained by the savings that have been held in different because of the different efforts of the companies and the non-presence of some non-recurrent items that took place in 2017. In interest as the total percentage of revenues, we've decreased from 3.2% to 3%. And that's important to keep in mind during the first quarter, which is 31,000 million pesos less of expenses by interest. Moving to slide 8, we see the integrated income results, particularly in the development of the consolidated net profit from 2017 to 2018. And we can see a growth that mentioned already said before, of 8.6%, reaching 692,000 million pesos. It's important to mention that the net profit of the holding, meaning the financial statements related to Grupo Sura, reached 594,767 million with a growth of 11%. When we analyze the different components that are part of the profit, first we see the change of profit of Sudamericana. And although here we see a negative of 32,000 million pesos, besides the impacts of revenues from investments, it's basically because of the non-presence of a non-recurrent, which took place in 2017 in the General Insurance of Colombia, which had the deferred tax of 38,000 million pesos. At Suda Asset Management, we see the good dynamics of its operations because of the contribution of 39,000 million pesos and the equity method. Especially we see this in Bancolombia, Nutresa, and Argos, a decrease of 35,000 million pesos mainly because of Bancolombia. On the table, we see the items especially have to do with Grupo Suda or the corporate segment, and there you see the difference of exchange and the coverages related to the difference of exchange, and how during that year the positive figures of 34,000 million from the performance of the exchange rate and other decisions or strategies developed in the past months. Also, we see how the expenses of administrative expenses compared to the year before, and also there are non-recurrent this year, which are positive, 26,000 million pesos. And in other items, there are some positive and other negatives, which reach 691,000 million pesos. Now let's give the floor to David Bojanini, who will talk about the risk trends. And moving on to slide 10, here we look at the highlights of Sudamericana. Firstly, there is a significant progress made when it comes to the international operations and their integration. Everything has to do from abroad. The profits moved from representing 45% to 48% of the profits of the segment of general insurance. Also, there is a positive operating dynamics that has to do with the technical result, which increased 8.5%, with growth in every segment. And this is explained mainly because of the retained premiums, which there is a decrease of 1.9% if we do not keep in mind the effect of not participating in the pensions insurance. It would have grown 4.3%. There's also an improvement that's very important in the retained loss ratio from 55.6% to 54.4%, meaning a decrease of 120 basic points. And also we can observe this first half of the year, a sound dynamics of the healthcare business. As you can see in the item of revenue from services provided, which grew 24.8%, while the cost of this healthcare business grew 19.9%. Revenues from investments, as I said before, were impacted, firstly, because the capital markets were much better in the first half of last year than this year, and because some of the investments that we have in the reserves for the life segment are indexed to the inflation of Colombia. And as you are aware, this has been decreasing, and that's why the yield of these investments that are indexed to our CPI have dropped. The ROE adjusted to Suramericana was 12.7%, while that the ROTE adjusted has to do with intangibles and mercantile credit to equity was 17.2%. On the right-hand side of slide 10, I invite you to look at the performance of the premiums issued by countries and by solution type. When it comes to countries, Colombia represents 55% of the premiums issued, followed by Chile, 14%, Argentina, 9%, Mexico, 6%, Brazil, 5%, Panama, 4%, and really these are the ones that stand out. And per solutions, automobiles represents 24%, followed ARL, which is workers' compensation, 12%, fire, 11%, health, 10%, and group life, 7%, to mention the solutions that are more representative. So next, as of slide 11, Ricardo Jaramillo, our CFO, will give you more details about the integral income statement of Sudamericana and the performance of the premiums in each of the segments of life, non-life, and health. On slide 11, you can look at the integral income statement consolidated of Sudamericana. So let's begin with the operating revenues. The company reached 6.1 billion pesos, up 3.8%. And it's important to mention that excluding the non-participation in the pensions insurance, it would have grown 8.9%. When it comes to the technical result, which is underwriting the insurance before administrative expenses, you can see a positive growth of 8.5%, reaching 1.1 billion pesos. Now we'd like to highlight the different indicators, and let me begin with loss ratios plus reserves, which is a percentage of the retained premiums, which shows the good performance we've had in, compared with other periods. It's been growing 350 basic points when it comes to services provided. Costs over revenues, we have an improvement of 380 basic points. The technical result we've mentioned before, but it's important to highlight that there are 80 basic points of increase when it comes to operating revenues. Administrative expenses have improved 60 basic points at 21.4%, a growth of 1% showing the efforts of the company for major efficiencies. And revenues for investments, during the first half of the year, we've had the impact of the market capitals, and we've moved from 576,000 million to 515,000 million. And lastly, we have taxes. And the main effect here is not really because of 2018, but instead in 2017, we had the non-recurrent item of the exchange rate and the catastrophic reserve.
Slide 12, please. Here you can see the integral income statement, which is the consolidated net profit of Sudamericana. And here you can see a growth, total growth, of minus 11%, reaching 259,000 million. Why? Because of the life segment. And here you can see also the investments. Although in the second half of the year, we still see negative the revenues from investments. This segment reflects 86,000 million pesos of negative contribution. On the other hand, general, on the third column, as you can see, 3,289 here, you can see the impact of the taxes that we discussed before. And in the segment of health, which we'll look at closer ahead, we see a very good growth of the profit. In the different components that we see, which are within what we call the corporate segment, which is difference of exchange, administrative expense, of interest, taxes, have to do with 28,000 million because of the effort made by the company to improve its efficiency, plus less interest paid during the first half of the year. Slide 13 shows you closely the life segment. So let's begin to see that the net profit, as I said before, decreased 25.4% at 253,000 million pesos. And the main effect of this decrease are the lower revenues from investments. Analyzing in detail the different components of this technical result, which grew 2.5%, let's look at the retained premiums. These decreased 1.7%. However, it's important to keep in mind that if we excluded the effect of not participating in the pension insurance, these would have grown 13.6%, driven by more dynamics in the individual, group, life, and health during the second quarter, as you can see on the right-hand side table. Also, the retained loss ratio improved 296 basic points. We have an increase in technical expenses related to promotion and prevention of workers' compensation, or ARL, and really, in general, the indicator of administrative expenses degraded or impaired 80 basic points because of not participating in the pensions insurance. So the bottom line is that the net profit was impacted by revenues from investments and non-recurring revenues in 2017. On the top right of this slide, you can see that the total premiums have different solutions. We have group life, pensions, health, and life. So really the solution is very well diversified. On slide 14, you can see in detail the general segment. First, I'd like to highlight that the net profit of the second half of 2018 reached 47,000 million pesos, and that this growth of 5.2% consists of a growth of 2.7% of technical results, decrease of 3.2% in administrative expenses. And to highlight also that what's really impacting us negatively are two things, are the 8,770 million of investments and others, which here, particularly what I said before, has to do with the 38,000 million pesos that we had in 2017 and that in this period did not take place. If we look at the retained premiums closely, these decreased 2.1% because of the devaluations in Argentina. For instance, in Argentina, these grew in local currency. They grew 23%, while in Colombia, they decreased 11%, and a lower production in Chile. On the top right-hand table, you can see that total premiums reached 2.5 billion pesos, decreasing 2.1%. If we made this analysis and we looked at the impact of the different countries in local currencies, that growth would be 4.6%,
4.6%. On the other hand, the combined reason improved 160 basic points, reaching 104.4% because of a better technical margin control and administration expenses. Revenues for investments dropped 4.9% in the semester, especially in the second quarter. However, we are seeing a better performance than that of last year. And again, the impact is because of devaluations or more inflation in some countries. On the right-hand side of this slide, we see premiums for solutions, and you can see that automobiles represent 38%, fire 19%, and really, and the rest of the percentages are distributed, as you can see as in that graph. And premiums per country, you can see Colombia represents 32%, Chile 21%, Argentina 15%, and you can see the percentages of the rest of the countries. Okay, slide 15 shows us details of the health segment. First, the profit net, the net profit, to it really reached $45,424 million. And this consists of the following: revenues of which grew 21.2%, driven because of more affiliates. Now we're reaching 3 million, and a growth of the complementary savings plan of 64%. A decrease of 130 basic points went for the better performance of the medical accounts, no posts, and the increase of tariffs of dynamics. And the technical result grew 34.2%. It's clear we've had increased in administrative expenses because we're having more people to serve the more number of affiliates that we have, especially because of the affiliates. Remember, we're reaching 3 million. And an increase of 64% in the PAC. Also, there's a decrease of 130 basic points because of the tariffs of dynamics, which reaches a technical result of 237,350 million pesos. Obviously, to back these growths, we have to increase our administrative expenses because we have so many new people. And although we've had some impact from the revenues of investments, it's been low. So because of all this, the net profit is almost doubling for the first half of the year. On the right-hand side of slide 15, you can see the different companies that we have in this segment, the EPS, IPS, and Dinamica, all showing good indicators of growth and the loss ratio. So they reached a total of revenues of 1.8 billion pesos. Now let's listen to David Bohanini, who will talk about the highlights of the other affiliate, Suda Asset Management. On slide 17, we have the highlights of Suda Asset Management during this first half of 2018. Firstly, I'd like to mention that the assets under management by this company added up to 397 billion pesos, up 8.4%. About this company, I'd like to highlight the positive operating dynamics it's shown, and we've observed growth in commissions of 7.9%. On the one hand, mandatory grew 6.8% in commissions, which reflects an important activity of this segment. While voluntary, the commissions grew 17.1%, also with great dynamics. On the other hand, the operating expenses decreased 0.3%. And this is explained, firstly, because of the higher efficiencies of the company, which has been making huge efforts to control its expenses. But on the other hand, because last year there were some non-recurrent expenses
which did not take place in 2018, such as a tax on wealth and also the case of Equifax. The net profit of Suda Asset Management grew 15.7%, despite the impacts it had because of the yield of the reserve, which decreased 85.8%. And we have to keep in mind that because of the performance of the markets, of the capital markets that we've mentioned before, the yields of the reserve were very low during this first half of the year compared to the first half of last year. And that not only is reflecting bad things for the revenues, but also for the equity method of protección. The voluntary business continues contributing a lot to the revenues of Suda Asset Management. Revenues from commissions of the voluntary segment, commissions represent 11% of the consolidated versus the 10.1% a year ago for the first half of 2017. In addition, the assets under management voluntary represent 12.3% of the total today versus the 10.9% they did in last year. The adjusted ROE of the company was 8.7% and adjusted by intangible amortizations and the ROTE, which includes goodwill and the intangibles of the equity, was 35.3%, reflecting the profitability of the operations. On the right-hand side of the slide, slide 17, you can see the assets under management in the different countries, where Chile, for instance, in the mandatory has 32%, Colombia 26%, Mexico 21%, Peru 15%, El Salvador 4%, and Uruguay 2%. And on the bottom right of slide 17, you see the assets under management voluntary, which reached 48.9 million pesos, up 21.2%, in which Chile represents 39%, Mexico 33%, Colombia 16%, Peru 7%, Uruguay 1%. So with this, I'll give the floor now to Ricardo Jaramillo, who will be explaining to you with more details the integral income statements of Suda Asset Management and the performance of the different segments of this company. On slide 18, we'll look at the integral income statement consolidated. And let's begin with the operating revenues, including the insurance margin. Operating revenues reached 1.2 billion in the first half of the year, decreasing 3%. This decrease is explained, as we see on the right-hand side table, by three things. First, revenues from commissions, which grew 9%, showing the good dynamics that the company has now, contributing positively 84,000 million pesos. Where do you have the impact on the company's revenues? And the next two items, equity method, which, and also the yield of the reserves, because of what we've explained, because of the capital market performance. On the other hand, the insurance margin contributes also to the 1.2 billion. When we look at the expenses, operating expenses, these have been controlled, 1.1% growing, reflecting two things. First, the efficiency efforts made and the non-presence of non-recurrent items that we had last year. Looking at the indicators on the right-hand side, here we see expenses, sales expenses, which are percentages of commissions, plus insurance margins. You can see that this grew to 18.3%. And it has to do with the growth in mandatory and voluntary.
Administrative expenses, which is the percentage of operating revenues, and insurance margins also grew 2%, while operating profit, which is the percentage of operating revenues and insurance margins, decreased to 8.8%, mainly because of the reserve yield and protection. Moving on to slide 19, we can see the net profit of Suda Asset Management and how it changed from 2017 to 2018, reaching 291,000 million, up 15.7%. This is explained as follows. First, a decrease in the mandatory, mainly because of revenues of commissions, as I said before, the voluntary, which improved 1,228. On the other hand, when it comes what's in the corporate segment, good dynamics of exchange difference, operating expenses, tax and wealth, which we didn't have to pay in 2018 compared to last year, and lower financial expenses to reach the figure of 291,000 million pesos that I mentioned before. Slide 20 shows you the mandatory segment of Suda Asset Management, how it reached a net profit of 419,000 million pesos, decreasing 11.8%. This decrease is explained, firstly, because of a very good commissions from revenues from commissions, which grew 6.8%. Second, a decrease of the yield of the reserves, minus 85.7%, and the net of the participation of protección. And in others, we have a contribution like the tax and wealth. The AUMs reached in this segment 348 billion, up 6.8%, explained because of the net flow in pesos of 3.8 billion, and a salary base of 60 billion, up 6%, in which we can highlight Peru, 5.5% growth, and Protección, 8.5%, which are growths above those of the inflation. On the other hand, revenues from commissions show more dynamics compared to other quarters driven by Mexico, and the total of EBITDA reached 594,000 million, minus 12.4%, excluding the reserve, which grew to 574,000 million, up 5.2%. Slide 21 shows you everything has to do with the voluntary segment, savings and investments and investment management, which is more related to the people that saves on the right-hand side, the EMs voluntary, as well, investment management has to do more with institutional factors. So let's look first at the voluntary assets under management. These reached 48.9 billion, 21.2% growth, and they consist of AUMs of 38.2%, growing 24%. And as you can see, on the top right of this slide, we have the savings and investments, AUMs, in different countries and showing very positive growth rates. For instance, here with local currencies growing all 8%. On the bottom left of the slide, we have revenues from commissions managed by both business units, voluntary and investment management, and we're reaching a total of 112,000 million, which is a growth in local currencies of 17.1 and of 19.7 pesos. The voluntary business continues its strategy to grow, and customers have reached 1.1 million, growing 13.4%. Total margin of insurance minus 1.7% because of the lower sales of unit linked in Chile. The operating result in pesos was minus 7,266 million. And although the segment some has more to do, it really has more taxes to pay. We must clarify in this analysis that the 38,000 million that's eliminated has to do with the investment part. So that's why it reaches 48.9, and it's not equivalent or doesn't match when you add both items. Ladies and gentlemen, with this, we end our presentation of the results of Grupo Suda and of its affiliates, and we give way to the Q&A session. Thank you. As of now, we will begin the Q&A session. We will begin receiving the questions verbally in the Spanish session. For those that are listening to the English session or those that are only connected by web, please send your questions in writing through our platform. That later we will be answering your questions. For those that are listening in the Spanish line, please, if you have a question, press star 1. If you want to remove from the waiting list, please press pound. Again, if you have a question, please press star followed by 1. And we have a question from Rocio Sanchez of Da Vivienda Corredores. Good morning. Thank you for your presentation. I have two questions. One is related to the retained premiums, which have a reduction. And you explained that most of this is related because of the insurance or the pensions insurance. But also you mentioned decrease has to do with the activities you've made. Could you give us more information about what you did for this decrease? Second question is related. Do you expect or are you concerned with any regulatory changes, especially in Mexico, under the administration of Obrador? Or are you aware of any changes there? Also, I'd like to understand in this same segment, why do you have why is this inflation index so much higher than in the different regions? Okay, Rodrigo, your first question with regards to the premiums. Firstly, we have the pensions insurance effect, which is half of the figure that you mentioned. But also, we made the disinvestments last year of the insurance business in Peru in annuities, and this year, right now, we're in the approval process to remove those in Chile. And in those cases, in Chile, for instance, we haven't had any sales. Sales were frozen of the annuities this year. And, of course, that has an impact. In addition, there's another voluntary product, which is more savings, which is called unit-linked. It's in Chile. And early this year, there were doubts about the tax management of this insurance. And sales were less active than last year, but they have been kicking in. But it's the sum of all that. It's the production of the reduction of more than 500,000 million in payments that you have mentioned. On the other hand, that this has to do with decisions made by both companies, the rest really shows a positive dynamics, as we explained before. With regards to Mexico, let me mention this. We don't have something definite from the new government of Mexico regarding this topic. What's heard is that probably there will be an increase in the contributions made for the pension funds because the contribution there is quite low. It's only 3.5% of the salary. And to have really a good pension, that the contribution must be higher. So one of the things that is being discussed in Mexico is how to improve that contribution. And, of course, this would improve, in turn, more management of contributions. And, of course, we expect, like in every case, Mexico, every year we have to renegotiate the commissions of the AUL. So surely there will be a change in those commissions, but nothing that so far will make us feel concerned. Again, there is nothing definite yet. With regard to your other question, I will give the floor to Carlos Oquendo, who can explain to you better about the decrease of the commissions in Mexico versus other countries. Hello, Rodrigo. Look, with regards to the growth of the revenues in Mexico and commissions, well, Mexico is the only country where we operate where the commission is charged, not because of the salary base, but instead because of the AUMs that we manage. In this case, Mexico is benefited because of the commercial growth that it had in 2017, but also because of the yield of the investments of 2017, which drove the AUMs. That's the difference between Mexico and the other countries. Perfect. Thank you so much for your answer. Our next question is from Catherine Ortiz from Davivienda Corredores. Good morning. Thank you for your presentation. I have a question. I know that early in the presentation, Dr. Bohanini talked about the law of conglomerates and that for SUDA, there isn't a big significant impact. However, I'd like to have more details related to the decree of the operations among related companies. Could you give us more specificities on the impact that this performance can have, especially on the companies that are part of the group, particularly? And if at least Protección will have to make some disinvestments in certain assets, basically. That's my question. Thank you. Okay, Catherine, look. There's been a lot of discussion to determine that last decree of the disinvestments of related companies. Initially, we thought or proposed with the ministry that the limit would be of 7.6% that we could invest in related companies. However, the decree came out with the 8.6% limit, and with that, Protección doesn't have to make any disinvestments. Why? Because today we have 11.3%, but since we have 18 months to adjust all this, in this period, with the normal growth that the funds have, we shouldn't have any problems with this issue. I don't know if Juan Luis Munda would like to add something to this. Well, from the viewpoint of the question of disinvestments, That's the answer, really. Overall, the law of conglomerates, as Dr. David said during the talk, we do not see significant impacts because of this law. It's a regulation that is pertinent, and it does follow international standards, and it's monitored closely. Perfect. Thank you so much for your answer. Our pleasure. Remember, if you have a question, please press star followed by one. Our next question is from Daniel Grudala. Good morning. I have a couple of questions on asset management. I have two. Firstly, I'd like to understand better what is creating the growth of AUMs? Is it the valuation of the portfolios or something else? And secondly, with the same business, please show us what is the cost structure? How much more expensive can it be to bring new assets in the voluntary compared to the mandatory sector? And how has been this development in the past 5 years? And what measures do you have ahead to reduce the cost, which undoubtedly is the main pillar of growth of this business? Okay, Daniel. I'll give the floor to Carlos Oquendo from Sura Asset Management. Daniel, look, with regards to your first question, really the growth of AUMs is not because of the yield of investments, but instead of the commercial management made of the business. So with the acquisition costs, the different companies have been making with investments and have been hiring new people and have been also hiring advice. So you can say that more than a reduction, we're in a stage right now of consolidating the business and the AUMs. Right now, we have no further questions. However, we do have a question made through the platform. Jose Fernando from AFIT says, the last year you said that you're going to be reducing your leverage. Do you plan to disinvest in other companies like you did in Chile and in Mexico? Well, in that sense, I'd like to say that we do not plan any other disinvestment for now. That really the disinvestments made focused mainly on the annuities business that we deem that our main strategy does not include disinvestments, as we said before, but truly the process of deleveraging has been taking place gradually because we've been receiving as a holding dividends and we have a margin that allows us to drop the debt. And obviously we'll be using resources from both these investments to do this as well. If we have no further questions, no, we do have another question through the platform. Nicolas Cesarvinco asks, after seeing a reduction in the cost because of the adjustment of reserves of 23% in the consolidated of the quarter, despite showing an increase of the cost of services provided and commissions, what other costs do you see will be reduced or will these be maintained for the stability of the profitability of the company?
Well, what we're really doing in our operations, mainly those acquired, Sura Asset Management and Sura Americana, is to seek better levels of efficiency in administrative costs. And this is an ongoing process, which has been significantly done to review processes on the one hand side, and to eliminate processes that really do not contribute any value. Also, we're using technology to reduce costs, and it's something that has been ongoing and that will be reducing our expenses. We will continue to do this because precisely one of the important goals of our strategy is to be more efficient, to be more competitive. So this is something that we'll continue doing gradually and constantly. Okay. If we don't have any more questions, we would like to end this teleconference and to thank you all for joining us. We'd like to tell you that the investor relations area is always available to answer any other question you may have later on, but we'd like to thank you truly for attending and joining us, and wish you all a good day. Thank you all. We end this teleconference. If you would like to listen to it again, you can do so on the website soon. Thank you for joining us. You may hang up now.